Again, the words of our Lord from his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. This is God's word. Please be seated. Dear fellow luminaries of the world, do you remember what happened on day one of the creation? God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that it was good. But did you ever stop to reflect on this? That primal creation light had no created source. For the first 3 days of the creation, there was just light. Because the bearers of the light, the sun, the moon, and the stars, were not created until the fourth day. On day four, the pre-existing light was given to those heavenly luminaries so that they could shine and give light to the earth. So the sun cannot take credit for bringing light to the earth as if it is the origin of light. The sun can only shine because that pre-existing light was given to it, like we gave the light bulb to that lamp. And now scientifically, of course, we talk about the sun as a source of light. The nuclear fusion of the hydrogen atoms in the core of the sun releases vast amounts of light and energy. But who sets the laws of science into motion? But God. And then think about this. Revelation 21, verse 23 says, the city, and that's the New Jerusalem, the new creation, our eternal home. He says, that city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. So this new creation that is our eternal home, it has light, but it has no created source of light. So can we infer from the creation, the new creation, what happened in the first creation, that Christ, the Lamb of God, was the original source of creation's light? Perhaps we can. As it was in the beginning, so shall it ever be, world without end. But what is clear in the Scriptures is that light originates with God. He is the pre-existing, self-sufficient light that requires no sun or moon or stars. And that is great news for us as we hear the call of Jesus today to let your light shine. Now, I know he uses the words, your light, but of course we all know, and Scripture is clear, that the light that is in us is not our light in the sense that we originate that light. Because Paul said to the Ephesians, you were formerly darkness. By virtue of our fallen nature, we're more like a black hole than a sun. We have no light of our own to shine, as if we originate the light. All we can do, like the sun, is to shine with the light that pre-exists us and is then given to us so that we can light up this world. For many Christians, these words of Christ, you are the light of the world and let your light shine, are guilt-inducing words. I read a number of sermons this week on this text in which these words of Christ were preached as a law to tell you what kind of people you should be, not what you are, but what you should be. And should is a law word. You should do this. You should do that. You should shine more brightly for Jesus. You should be the light of this world. Should is a law word. Like in the Ten Commandments, in the Catechism, the explanation, we always start off by saying, we should fear and love God. But the problem with should is we can't. And so up goes the guilt level. Because none of us shines as brightly as we should for the one who is the light. Not one of us. But the good news is that when Jesus says you are the light of the world, that's not a law telling you who you should be. That is a word of gospel telling us who we are in Christ. He is not saying you should generate more light as if shining is your work, your accomplishment. No. Any shining that we do in this world is Christ's work and Christ's light within us. He said in John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have the light. Jesus has turned the light on in you. You know, when a person is going the wrong way in life, we say that person is blind. They're living in darkness. And what is our prayer for that person? We pray that they might see the light. And each of us, by virtue of our fallen nature, were born as creatures of the darkness. We were the ones going the wrong way. The way of rebellion against our Father. And consequently, the way of death. For the wages of sin is death. But then, a voice pierced the darkness. Let there be light. And Christ was born, the light of this world. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness tries to overcome it. The darkness tried to snuff out the light at the cross, tried to hide that light in a tomb behind a sealed and guarded stone. The light of Christ is irrepressible, and the darkness could not overcome it. Crucified for our sins, Christ rose in a blaze of Easter glory, for God had accepted His sacrifice for us, and now the church sings, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. I am not my own light, the Lord is my light." All of this is His work in us. Just as the psalmist said in Psalm 18, Lord, You light my lamp. God illumines my darkness. You see, the light originates in Him, not in us. But then He gives us that light. To all who follow Him, He gives this light so that we can then shine as the lights of this world. So, let your light shine. Let it shine. I'm not calling you to generate the light. I'm not putting pressure on you to light up with a certain minimum number of watts, or else I'm going to unscrew you from the socket and throw you away and put in a brighter bulb to replace you. No, that's not what Jesus is saying. All He is saying is, don't hide the light that I have lit in you, but let it shine through you. Isn't that what Jesus said? You don't light a lamp and then put it under a basket, but you put it on a stand so that it can give light to everyone in the house. You are the light of the world. That's not a demand. It's just a statement of fact. Because He ignited that light within you, His baptized and His believing followers. Just don't hide that light. That's all. Just don't hide it. Or if you've been hiding it, stop hiding it. How? By doing good works. so that other people can see those good works and glorify your Father. As Luther points out here, we're not talking about good works to try to save ourselves. Christ did that good work. We're talking here about good works that benefit our neighbor. There's a Peanuts cartoon that shows Peppermint Patty talking to Charlie Brown. It's just the first day of school, and already Peppermint Patty had been sent to the principal's office. And she says to Charlie Brown, "It was your fault, Chuck." And Charlie Brown is just dumbfounded. How could this be his fault? And she says to him, "You're my friend, aren't you, Chuck? You should have been a better influence on me." Thankfully, Jesus is not like Peppermint Patty. He does not pass the blame, but he took the blame. And he took the fall for us. So great is his love. And yet when Jesus says, "Let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven," he is showing us the power that our lives as his good people can have on others who are watching us. I'm reminded of a lady in a congregation, the congregation I served up in Michigan, who came to our church because the members of the church treated her so graciously when she came to get food from our food pantry. Just as our food pantry workers are, I know, are always so kind to the people they serve. But this particular lady was not used to being treated well. She had one of those personalities, I don't know how to say this as kindly as I possibly can, but it was just a little bit off-putting. And so most people put her off. But these pantry workers, I was so proud of them. They let their light shine. And they were good to her and kind to her. And she was won over by their good and their kind works, and she became a member with us of the body of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of power in a kind deed that is done by a follower of Jesus Christ. A lot of his light shines through us when we do good works that benefit others and that glorify our Father. That's why Isaiah said in the Old Testament reading today, he said, "When you loose the bonds of the wickedness, when you undo the straps of the yoke, when you let the oppressed go free, when you share your bread, when you bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the person naked and you cover him, and when you take care of your own family, then your light will shine forth like the dawn," he says. Through your good works. Now, our Lord's disciples were often quite dim in reflecting the love of Christ. And so are we, frankly. Thank God that he does not quickly cast us away when we fail. But he leads us to repent and to renounce the ways of darkness, to be forgiven for the sake of the cross, and then to strive anew to follow him and let our light shine. When we love others as God loved us, people take notice. So share with someone who is in need. Put an arm around someone who is grieving. Give a word of encouragement to somebody who is downcast. Visit somebody who is alone. Take a pie to that new family and welcome them to the neighborhood. Say hello to the stranger in our midst. And maybe, just maybe, that person will see light of hope at the end of the tunnel of this world's darkness. And that light is Jesus. And we should be happy to give him all the glory. We cannot shine apart from his work in us. And we can do no good thing apart from him. But when he is in us, we light up. Like the sun and the moon and the stars, to give light to this earth. You are the light of the world, and you will dwell in eternal light because of Jesus. Just don't hide that light, but let it shine. And maybe today, or maybe this week, or maybe sometime this year, someone will see your good works and will come to glorify your Father with you. And that is what we call light living. My fellow luminaries, let it shine. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.